I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, and I have updates this week. Sorry to shake the table there, which is holding the camera, which is on a stand, which is making everything... Looks like I'm in an earthquake. Never mind. Anyway, the point is, we have updates. Many updates. First update, well, before I do that, let me do this. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters because that's what we do here at drbillbailey.net. We are a network of netcast broadcasting over the network, which is the internet. So it just kind of fit. You know, if the glove fits, you must equip. Acquit. Not equip. That's different. Anyway, in both cases, what? The point is we have updates, and the updates go something like this. A few netcasts ago, I told you about solar freaking roadways. Yes. And I enjoyed telling you about it because it's awesome. I know there's a lot of naysayers out there. You can't do that. Well, there are enough of us dreamers and strange people, which I qualify for, who believe in the whole idea of solar freaking roadways, that we gave money. My case, 10 bucks. 10 bucks, right? So, I mean, it's like going to McDonald's once, which, you know, I could use not going to McDonald's as often, just saying. But anyway, so I gave them 10 bucks, and so did a lot of other people, here and there and everywhere. They're now well over $2 million. They were trying to raise $1 million. They're now already past $2 million. So there are some of us who believe in solar freaking roadways. I just love that. Anyway, cool. The other update isn't quite so fun. Perhaps. This one, the jury is still out on whether this is even an update. I don't know. But last netcast, the Geek Software of the Week was Yak. Y-A-K, C, not K. Not K, C. Stands for Yet Another Cleaner. I always think of K because Yak should be K. But hey. So Yak. So someone sent me an email that said, Dr. Bill, Yak is malware. And I went, uh-oh. I was not happy. I thought, oh no, what if I've told everyone they should use this and it's malware? Plus, I had it installed on my computer. So I was like, dude. So I immediately ran Malware Bytes Anti-Malware, which is one of my favorite anti-malware programs. I made sure it was fully updated. And it didn't find any problem. So then I looked at the reported problems caused by Yak. And it wasn't causing any of that on my machine. It wasn't stealing my browser. It wasn't stealing my search engine. It wasn't popping up weird messages. And I was like, is this really malware? So I started doing a little research. And here's what I found in the article in my blog, which, of course, is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. You know, those of you that listen to the audio netcast, I can't help but wonder when I say, as it says there on the screen, if you're going, What? Well, if you're watching the video netcast, it's up on the screen. So get with the program and watch the internet program show thing. Because right now, for instance, this is very odd. I'm wearing a black shirt. And I have a gray beard, which is almost white. So it makes it look like my head is floating. Floating on the screen. How cool is that? I'm a disembodied head floating across your screen. No, it just looks that way. But that's fun. I should wear black shirts more often. Anyway, the point is, boy, I'm getting off into tangents. That makes me tangential. Thank you, Fred. I always appreciate Fred's comments. For those of you that aren't aware, of course, and aren't familiar with my show, perhaps you're watching for the first time going, who is this weird disembodied head dude? Anyway, no, it's Fred is my imaginary friend. I'm not going to say hi, Fred, because I know what you do. You always put up hi, Fred. So I'm not going to do that this time. Thank you. Fred is my imaginary friend. He's a little snide sometimes. Well, you are. And, of course, you can't see him because he's actually not there. Which is right handy. You know, I mean, it means he can be everywhere all at once. That's a little scary. Anyway, point is, what was I saying about Fred? What was I saying about you, Fred? No, I doubt it. But you dream on. Oh, yeah. See, my wife is doing what Fred is supposed to do and remind me that it's a malware story. Wow. She's kind of my memory unit. You know, she keeps me apprised of all the things that I'm forgetting while I'm talking because I do that. Anyway, the malware, yes, so yak. Yeesh. So I said in my blog, drbill.tv, as I mentioned earlier, hold the presses, I'm hearing that yak may be malware. I'm researching now. In the meantime, don't install it. However, I just ran Malwarebytes anti-malware, and it turned up nothing on the PC. But I'm still checking. So here's what the people who like it say. These are comments that I found concerning yak. I used it for a while. It's a nice and safe program. I uninstalled it due to there being no apparent way to disable the HIP, HIPS module. The HIPS module is set to automatically deny suspicious actions when you haven't chosen whether to allow or deny the action after 30 seconds. That doesn't sound like a problem to me. But anyway, I'd prefer there be no countdown for the prompt to stay until it's clicked. No, that didn't make a lot of sense, but that's okay. But apart from that, it is excellent. Is how he ends his missive. Next one. It's not malicious, but because it's not well known as of yet, there's very little information to be found about it. Once again, a comment that makes you go, what? But I understand what he's trying to say. Next one. I tried Norton McAfee, but I'm not thrilled with the mediocre results, so out of desperation, I downloaded Yak. I find it to be very effective, as any of the programs that you pay for will continue to use, as I like its simple format. These run-on sentences people use. Anyway, it's a good security program, and it's easy to clean, optimize, scan for malware. I don't know what all the fuss is about. Maybe because it's free, some people think it must be a scam. I like it. These are comments now. They're not my comments. They're other people's who heard that it was malware and are talking about it in various security forums. Here's another one. A schoolmate from Brazil told me that Yak is a very useful utility developed by a company from his country, that being Brazil, of course. Certainly I know what it is. So we began to discuss on the program. He said every Brazilian is proud of Yak. Somehow I doubt every Brazilian knows what Yak is, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Because it is useful, helpful, and free. In my opinion, this program has space for improvement. It's great. It's free. It does all these things, but it could use improvement. Okay. And then the cons. The cons included a link on botcrawl.com showing you how to remove the Yak virus. Another one from manualremoval.com. Neither one of these places I've ever heard of, by the way. And its article is Remove Yet Another Cleaner Yak and Search Yak.mx Redirect. So apparently, some people have experienced it redirecting the search engine to Yak.mx, which is the site for Yak. So, I didn't know what to think of all this. So I decided, okay, the real test of malware is, can I uninstall it and it not leave any malicious junk around? Or say, if you install me, I'm going to destroy your system or something like that. So I went ahead and installed it, and it uninstalled perfectly easily, no real hassle. In fact, it said, goodbye, what did we do? We want to do better. You know, I've seen that before. But there were no weird surprises or craziness. It seems harmless. You know, and that's all I can say. I don't know. Maybe there's a bad version of Yak out there. The one that I got was directly from Yak.mx. Okay? So, maybe out there on some weird download facility, there's one that is infected. But I don't know that we should necessarily blame the folks who made Yak, which are apparently not .mx, I thought was Mexican, but apparently it's Brazilian company that makes it, or group of folks. So, I don't know what to think. You make your own decision. Do your own research. I can only say that it seemed to work fine for me. Okay? And I do appreciate you folks out there trying to say, hey, Dr. Bill, wait a minute, this may be malware. I appreciate that. I do. Keep me honest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as I'm giving you this information, I found it on the internet. I was doing research. I was looking for various things, and that's where I find these things. And if I'm wrong, I'll say I was wrong, okay? So send those cards and letters in, metaphorically speaking, because I know it needs to be email, you know? Cards and letters, who uses those anymore? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so next item. Linux pros got it going on. Ha ha. Yes, that's what I said in my post here for the article. And when I wrote this was June the 10th when I wrote this. And I said, as a Linux pro, this was an article that stroked my ego. Yes, indeedy. Maybe it will make your day, too, if you're a Linux dude or dudette. The article in question is one from opensource.com by Sean Powers that I post here. And the title of his article was The Sought After Linux Professional. He says, there's no such thing as just a Linux sysadmin, which is what makes Linux professionals so incredibly valuable. We've all been hearing that the demand for Linux professionals, it is at its highest ever! ! Whoa. For years! In recent years, though, it hasn't just been Linux nuts like me saying it. Yes. You may reference the 2014 Linux Jobs Report by the Linux Foundation and assume they're biased. But a quick search over at Monster.com shows that demand for Linux professionals is a real thing. Linux has been around for decades, so why the sudden interest? And the answer he has is flexibility. Sure, I mean Linux is flexible, but more than that, Linux system administrators are flexible. It's not news to anyone that Linux is gaining popularity in part due to its dominance in the cloud and the data center. And certainly that large install base needs sysadmins that understand Linux and how it works. More importantly, however, companies need sysadmins who can make these cloud-based services work with their particular internal needs. And then he goes on to say that Linux professionals tend to be people who know how it works underneath the hood. You know what I mean? They're not just pushing buttons and moving windows around screens like a Windows person. No, they really know how it works. Matter of fact, last night, now this may cement the idea in your mind that I'm crazy. Yes, Fred. Fred needs no more evidence. But last night I dreamed about Linux. I know that's odd. Actually, what I dreamed was is that I was teaching a class on Linux. And I went into all the detail about the Linux root file structure. And it was quite good. I thought to myself, whoa, this is pretty good. I need to video this. It was a dream. But anyway, the point is, I remembered all the classes I'd had on Linux and Unix, and I was kind of going over that information, and I was adding to it in such a way as to explain to a noob, N-O-O-B, noob, which is short for newbie, which is N-E-W-B-I-E, but I digress. The point is that I was explaining it in such a way that anyone could understand it, and then I realized as I was explaining it, and this is how it ties into this guy's article, dude, you got to know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? To be a Linux dude, which means you generally know what's going on in the infrastructure and with computers and how they all work. Which is why Linux people are cool. Because they know what's happening. Dude, what's happening? Anyway. So we got it going on, folks. That's what I'm saying. All right, this next one is kind of a... We're sliding this one in from VirtZine. VirtZine, of course, is the online magazine of virtualization and cloud computing. A little commercial for my own other netcast. One of several. Anyway, but this is from VirtZine. Cross-posted from VirtZine. Where I posted an announcement from Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Actually, from Red Hat. About Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Version 7 is out. Dude. Red Hat is pleased to announce the release of Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7. Available today. This was on June 10th as well. On the Red Hat customer portal. Built to meet the modern data center demands as well as next generation IT requirements, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7 lays the foundation for the open hybrid cloud and serves enterprise workloads across converged infrastructures. Yeah, I know. It's a little heavy on the selling. You know what I'm saying? But anyway. But here's what the new features include. Lightweight portable Docker containers that run applications at near bare metal speed, providing isolation and leveraging SE Linux for increased security. This is built into Red Hat Enterprise Linux 7, and it is the Docker platform that you may have heard me talk about before, where the entire virtualization infrastructure is built into a Docker thing that the application then runs within, so you've got the entire package. You just send them the package and the whole thing runs. Whoa. So anyway, that's cool. Improved file system enhancements, including a default XFS file system that supports up to 500 terabytes. Dude! Improvements to NFS4, adding extended attributes with SE Linux labels and LVM supporting whole volume snapshots with rollback. Wow. A centralized management of processes, services, security, and other resources using systemd. Systemd, of course, would be the daemon running called systemd. Okay. New management tools like OpenLMI to increase uniformity and standardized administration across systems while managing storage network and high availability resources. And then refined control over system subscriptions allows you to set support priority, audit system reliability, and see how you're using your subscriptions at a glance. So lots of stuff in Red Hat Enterprise Linux for the data center. So check into it. You Linux admins, they have it going on. Know what I'm saying? Yes. All right, next item, Google Chromecast usage is down? What? But streaming overall is up. Now, again, I seem to be repeating myself often on this, but you people that diss Chromecast, you don't know what you're talking about. Everybody's like, well, Chromecast doesn't have enough apps. Well, whoopee-doo. It doesn't need apps. It does everything. I mean, if you don't need an app to do something, if you do everything on your own. I know some of you are saying, oh, Dr. Beal, you're exaggerating. Well, yes, of course I am. I always do. You didn't have to agree quite so quickly, Fred. Anyway, he's so helpful. Anyway, the point is that I love my Chromecast, and I have a Roku. I do, and I like it, and I use it all the time. But a Chromecast is awesome. Matter of fact, I mentioned in the article here that if you have a Roku 3, it has all the functionality of a Chromecast built into it. It'll even support the Chromecast, you know, plug-in in the Chrome browser, just like you actually had a Chromecast. So if you got a Roku 3, you pretty much have it all. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. But anyway, it says here, nearly 20% of U.S. broadband households now have a streaming media player, but at the same time, the Google Chromecast usage is waning. Man, anyway, so they quote a lot of statistics that are boring, so I'm not going to read them. But the bottom line is, people are going out there and buying streaming media players. And I guess probably what's happening is they're buying the top dog, which is Roku. They're getting the Roku 3, which is good. And if they get the Roku 3, it has the same functionality built into it as the Chromecast using the Chromecast APIs. So, there you go. But it doesn't actually show up as a Chromecast in their statistic gathering. Shows up as a Roku. So, okay. Now, you might say, well, Dr. Bill, why do you say that the Chromecast does everything? Because I can stream from my computer through my Chromecast. That is a little-known feature that most folks just aren't getting. They don't understand it's there, but it's very simple to do. You go click, 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 and it just will broadcast from your PC anything you have that Chrome supports, okay? So like an MP4 file or MP3 file or those kinds of things, okay? If it's like a, I don't know, an AVI, okay, maybe it won't do that. But you know what I'm saying, supported file types. All right, it will also cast a tab in your Chrome browser, and if you can view any show like CBS, NBC, ABC, whatever network, if you can view a show through your browser, that means you can put it up on your TV. You know, so if you can do that in Netflix, Netflix is something else. I mean, there's a Netflix app for Chromecast, okay. But even if you didn't use that, you could just put Netflix up on your PC screen, cast that tab, and now you're watching Netflix through Chromecast. Whether you use the app or not. Now, the app, of course, is easier. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Does pretty much whatever you want it to do. So I don't understand why people are dissing it. You know what I'm saying? Whoa! Fred messed my hair up with that. That, of course, is the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week. Hopefully is safer than Yak. Don't even know if Yak's not safe, but hopefully this will be more benign. Okay. This is Void Tools Everything. This week I'm giving you everything. That's the name of it. Doesn't mean I'm actually giving you literally everything. I'm giving you software called Everything. I know it's confusing. Anyway, Everything is a program that allows you to search on your PC for anything on your PC, meaning everything, okay? It is a small installation file. It's clean and simple in its user interface. It does quick file indexing. Matter of fact, really, really quick file indexing. It does quick searching, minimal resource uses. It shares files with others easily and does real-time updating. Now, it will only search file and folder names, okay? Not the contents of the file. It's not going to open the file and look at the contents and read whatever it says in the file, okay? It just will do the file name or the file's folder name. Now you may say, well, Dr. Bill, then whoopee, it's not that useful. You'd be surprised if you've got a lot of drives and a lot of files and a lot of folders. Windows search takes forever. Everything goes bing and it's there. And I don't mean Bing like Microsoft's Bing. I was using Bing as a sound effect. Okay. Anyway. So it's pretty cool. So check it out. It's Geek Software of the Week. It's free. Free is good. Got to admit that. Okay, and lastly, time to put on the old curmudgeon hat, which I don't have my hat. It's actually in there. I have the red hat behind me. Does that help? Anyway, and the angry bird and the penguin, good old penguin, it's Tux. Anyway, the point is, this is about Eugene Goostman. You're like, what? This is supposedly the artificial intelligence chatbot that passed the Turing test, to which I say, really? No. I disagree. In my humble opinion, it is not passed the Turing test, because it's stupid. You can actually get on and ask it questions, and it's stupid, I'm telling you. It wouldn't fool anybody that knows anything about testing artificial intelligences. Very good, Fred. Fred seems to think I wouldn't pass the Turing test. You may be right, but that's beside the point. One of these days, Fred. Anyway, I don't think that Eugene Goostman passed the Turing test. The chatbot named Eugene Goostman is not not the one that passed the Turing test, in my humble opinion. The chatbot has been able to fool over 30% of the human participants in the conversation with the chatbot. So I asked the question, does it count if the humans are below par intelligence and can't recognize a chatbot when they're typing back and forth to it? In other words, this chatbot, if you can't tell it's a chatbot, you got some problems. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, then I linked to what Ray Kurzweil said, who at least he knows what he's talking about when it comes to artificial intelligence. His response to the announcement of the chatbot, Eugene Goostman, passing the Turing test, is detailed. It is well thought out. He got on with Eugene Goostman chatbot, and he asked it some questions and blew it away. Okay? So we're not there yet. But who knows, one day we may. Actually, I read a very interesting article about chatbots in general that are being used to scam people. And they were saying, what if the development of these chatbots to scam people actually leads to a true artificial intelligence because they want it to be more and more capable of fooling people, and so they keep pouring more and more effort and research into it, and then one day we have an artificial intelligence and it was all designed for evil, and then they name it Skybot and we're done. Just saying. Anyway, it was an interesting article. I mean, the guy had a point. You need a financial motivation to make this thing work, and so all of these evil bad guys have a motivation. So what if they're the ones that pour all the resources into it and we come out with Skynet? Did I say Skybot? Probably did. I meant Skynet. You know, with Arnold, the Terminator. I'll be back. Let's hope not. Anyway, the point is, I don't think... Now, see, that was annoying. My camera cut off in the process of recording what I was saying, and it just stopped. Silly camera. Anyway, I turned it back on because I have a remote control. So there. Anyway, what was I saying about Eugene? I don't think that's it. But I think maybe we're going to get there one day where we'll have true artificial intelligences. So, now, camera, I'm ready. Just hang in there for another minute. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.